This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Did he hit Austin? My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Just want to do things my own way, you know.
It's not an easy way to start another year. New Year's resolution was to get away from here. She kept that promise to herself. And as for me, it's January 21st beside the Christmas tree. And the stockings by the fire are still hanging. And the birds in the chimney still sing a happy song. Know you'd like to think that I've forgotten, but you're wrong. All the times that we were close, all the things.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you in high definition audio or something quite like it. To all corners of the globe, to all the ships at sea, to fans worldwide, seeking a little enlightenment, a little perspective, a little guidance through the turbulent seas of these modern times of ours. Welcome, folks. You have found us. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast from Trinidad World Recording Studios here in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas. Oh, it's great to be with you here, folks. I'm back from another short vacation. We talked a couple shows ago about my time I spend in Colorado every year. Love it up there. Of course, who doesn't love Colorado? Cool air, big trout, etc., etc. Man, we went down to the coast, the beloved Texas coast. Went down to Galveston. All right. Galveston, Texas. You know, we talk a lot about, everybody goes to Padre, Port A. Man, I'll tell you what, I went to Galveston as a kid. It really was. Some people haven't been to Galveston in a long time. Kind of go, oh man, it's kind of brown water, brown beach, you know, Jack Daniels bottles on the beach, syringes. Man, that's like the 70s, you know, or the 80s. I think there was some truth to that at one time. A lot of tar on the beach, you know, that kind of stuff. We've gone down there the last couple of years. And let me just tell you, man, Galveston's got a lot going on for it down there. That West Beach in Galveston, down there, Pirates Beach. We've also stayed, years ago, stayed at the Galvestonian down there. And then you kind of got the, what's the hippie beach up there? Oh, it flew out of my head. But there's cool places down there, man. Of course, the hurricane, was it Ike a few years ago? What year was that canceled all my shows for like a week? We were playing like Yagas, Corpus, and the Firehouse, and then Ike came ashore. Wasn't that Ike? Good grief. Just a monster of a storm. Just went all over Galveston. But man, it's really bounced back. I mean, I don't know much about the island, but from the looks of things, man, it's houses are, you know, at least down there on the West Beach, still standing, and we had a heck of a time, man. Love the ocean. Most surprising thing about there down there, you know, you're back there in the town. You get down in Galveston or Houston in the city on the Strand. Oh, you kidding me? It's 112 or something just walking on the asphalt. But man, you get out on that beach, man. You get a little breeze whipped up. Gosh, you know, the trusty thermometer there in the car only read like, you know, 92, 93, 94. Just, I mean, we were right down on the water. And it's really, really pleasant, man. And once the sun goes down especially, I mean, you can just sit out there. drank you a cold beer with your feet in the water. Golly, I could just live down there. Fish, live on what I catch. It was a great time, man. But I had an interesting experience out there. I've never been a big swimmer. Not the most buoyant of guys, you know. I'm a skinny, not a lot of fat, not very buoyant. So I stay out of the deep churning water. You see, the deep churning water, troublesome for me. P2. It's kind of like the guy said in the old Saturday Night Live skit. I'm not that strong a swimmer. Well, you know, I can swim. I can swim. I just don't. I don't seek out danger. All my buddies, you know, they'd swim out to like the 8th sandbar or something. Not me. Sharks, undertow, nothing. No, don't want to do it. But I do love just staring in the surf, having a cold drink, throwing the football, throwing the frisbee. And occasionally, when I'm really feeling a frisky man, you know, getting in a little body surfing, little boogie boarding. So the kids were down with the kids everywhere. So I borrow a boogie board. I'm like, well, I don't want to embarrass myself out here. I get out there. You know, I mean, the waves aren't that big. The first couple, I mean, you know, Galveston is not like known for its crashing surf or anything like that. So, you know, I'm just, you just kind of dive along as the wave breaks. And I mean, it can push you all the way into shore if you catch one just right. It's a lot of fun. But let me tell you what, man, you might have seen it in the news. It did end up being a big story, but you kind of had old Tropical Storm Don. Huh? Did y'all read about that up here or anywhere else? You had Don out there. Churning in the Gulf. Didn't quite form into a hurricane. It was a tropical storm, tropical depression coming ashore. Ended up coming ashore, I think, down by Corpus. So, but everyone was really on heightened alert, you know, in Galveston. Like, man, is this thing gonna, you know, turn into a true hurricane and turn north or whatever? Everyone was just kind of keeping an eye on it. We didn't know if we'd have to evacuate, for crying out loud. Hope that didn't happen. So we're staying around, kind of watching what old Tropical Storm Don was going to do. Well, it kind of turned into a pussycat a little bit, and just sort of came ashore south of us. But, man, there was the day it was, you know, kind of coming ashore, man, you get some big, so, you know, by Galveston's Texas surf, I would imagine, some pretty good-sized surf down there. Now, I'm not a surfer. I'm not even, as I've freely admitted, a water guy, you know. You know me, I'm always in my jeans and boots. I mean, it's hard to get me out there. But I was wearing shorts. So just try to picture me out there. Shorts, you know, cowboy hat, sunglasses. So, man, I get on the board out there. I mean, there's some good waves coming in. And I've never been anywhere where there was big surf. I've been in the Mediterranean. I don't know. Florida. I don't know. Oceans everywhere, but I've never been on, like, you know, big California coast or Hawaii, anywhere like that. You know, known for just the huge waves, or, you know, I've never had any experience with that. So this is nothing like that, but this is for Texas coast. Dude, there were some good-sized waves rolling ashore, curling out there in the surf. So, you know, the 13-year-old in me just grabs a boogie board. I said, I'm going to go out here and see what I can do out here. So I get out there, and, man, there were guys out there on real surfboards just surfing in Galveston. I mean, I don't see that a whole lot. Dudes on big old boards just catching waves and riding them in the shore. So I'm like, man, I'm going to get on one of these deals. So, man, after a few misses, I mean, I just jump out in front of a couple of these things and just get tossed upside down. I lose my glasses in the surf. Oh, what a beating. Pretty expensive. My sunglasses, they're prescription. Oh, you ever notice? I mean, I've lost so many things in the surf in my years. Watch, phone, glasses. I'm always out there like diving for a frisbee and a wave smacks me and that's it. Knocks them right off my face. And dude, they fall like right in front of me in, like, you know, whatever, 2 feet of water, 3 feet of water. They drop. So I just put my hands immediately down. I'm thinking I'm going to feel them down there. Just gone. I've done that. I've lost hats. Everything just in the ocean. The surf just sinks. It like, as soon as it gets underwater, I guess it just darts like 10 feet to one direction or the other. So I never see him. Oh, I just paced the shore a while later looking for him. So amidst all this heartbreak, amidst all this disappointment, you know, I'm disgusted. I lost. I feel like an idiot out there. Phil out there body surfing, or, you know, boogie boarding. Well, all of a sudden, dude. Let me frame this setup just a little bit. One of my favorite bad movies, maybe my most favorite bad movie of all time in the history of movies. I'm talking a movie that the dialogue is corny, the acting is over the top, it's stupid, but you just, when it's on TV, when it's on TNT or something, you can't look away. You gotta watch the whole thing. Maybe the best of all time as the years go by, Point Break, the surfing movie. I mean, can you get three just more hilarious actors than Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves, and Gary Busey? I mean, just look at the body of work there. They've all had their moments, but man, at this point in their career, they were all just kind of over the top. And so I love, of course, Swayze. He's the surfer guy that they think is also a bank robber. And Keanu Reeves is the undercover cop who becomes a surfer to, you know, kind of get in with the surfers and find out about the bank robbing schemes. So, but some of the great stuff in Point Break is Swayze's surfer dude monologues, his philosophical, spiritual monologues about surfing as he teaches his new friend Keanu Reeves, or Agent Johnny Utah, how to surf, you know, just man, I gotta say, as I was out there in the surf, the big surf coming in there from Tropical Storm Don, just the words of Swayze, his character Bodie, the words of Bodie just coming into my head. Usually it's a joke, usually it's a bit of humor in my life, but now as I sit there watching the waves roll at me, holding my styrofoam boogie board, Bodie's, you know, words of wisdom are just going through my head. You know, just when that wave comes, Utah, accept its energy and ride it to where it wants you. You don't choose the wave, Utah. It chooses you, or whatever, stuff like that. So I'm just out there. I'm thinking Bodie was right, you know. So I, all of a sudden I look up, man, there's just one rolling in at me. And there's kind of this, you know, the back current, like rolling off the beach. It just stands this wave up. I'm like, dude, it's just this wall of water. And so I just take my... I've never been on a wave this big. I mean, I was just, like I say, just in the foam, just kind of washing ashore, like a piece of driftwood. Well, dude, I've got this board, and I jump forward towards the shore as this wave, you know, passes by me, but I jump at like an angle because I'm trying to catch it. And dude, let me tell you what, man, Bodie was right from Point Break. Bodie would have been proud because, man, I get up this thing, and as soon as I get on this wave, I get that sensation of the water pushing me up. You know, usually you're just kind of falling with the wave. But there's so much water going up the wave, it's just holding me in midair. And I'm telling you what, man, there was a spiritual or religious experience I've never had in my life out in the water. And I'm on this wave, and it just carries me, and I'm going like sideways with it. You know, like a just kind of accidentally. And it's just kind of curling kind of over my head. I am flying, dude, with the words of Bodie just ringing in my head the whole way. And all of a sudden, man, it was unbelievable. So, I mean, it just carries me just what seems like forever. I mean, it's, and dude, I can steer. I find myself steering the board a little bit, going up the wave, going down the wave. Then I see kind of another wave in front of me sort of curling, and I sort of peel off and get onto that one. Have another little updraft kind of experience. So pretty cool, man. Surfing with the alien P2 out there on his boogie board. Actually, it was kind of funny. It was kind of a kid's, like Dora the Explorer boogie board. Just out there kicking ass in the surf, in the Galveston surf. But man, thanks to Tropical Storm Don and the words of Bodie, Patrick Swayze's character from Point Break, man, had a great time out there on the Texas coast. Fun on the coast. Well, when I came into work today, we had some people gathering out front of the studios we do sometimes, you know, trying to see what's going on here at Trinidad. And who is among them but our friend Blue. Blue, bass player J.W. Marshall. He's going to come by and talk to us in the next segment. Stay tuned.
The story was leaking. Faucet too, and they're still as broken as what's left of me and you. Yeah, everything's still like it was. What can I say? Christmas lights don't look as good in the middle of the day, and the neighbors in the yard are talking, and the kids next door ride new bikes in the streets. How can this bitter pill to swallow taste more sweet?
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting worldwide in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth. Today, in our guest segment here, we are so thrilled to have him dropping by, as we always do. He's out there milling about in the flower beds outside of Trinidad World Recording Studios, just sort of helping out some of the plants, just aerating the soil. Bass player of the full band, legendary Midwesterner, J.W. Blue Marshall is
yo,
here.
Yo, doing, yo, Blue? Yo. Good.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
That was a great segment last week talking about movies, Netflix, fascinating stuff.
Yeah, I feel like stuff. I got on a rant. I didn't even know where it came
from.
You did,
I know. And you, a guy who, you moved into an apartment there in Dallas. Well, it's more like a townhouse kind of deal.
Right.
Right there in Uptown, McKinney Avenue.
Right. I'm not going to tell you what bars it's next to, so we don't want to have people at my doorstep, but it's across the street from some bars right there on McKinney Avenue.
You said it all, that it's right by a bar.
Oh, yeah.
That's where you want to live.
Some restaurants, some bars.
Where do you live, Phil? I'm not going to tell you what bar it's next door to, but just kind of wait a minute. Did you say he lives next door to a bar? But J-Dub is a man about town in Dallas there. No time for television, yeah. And so you haven't even gotten your cable hooked up yet. And
Eight months.
Now you figure out, maybe I don't need it.
Don't even need it.
Yeah?
I have the internet. That's all I need.
You got the internet. They get some floating Wi-Fi around there.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Borrow it from the bars, which I will not name.
Yeah. Taking a little bandwidth with you.
That's all right.
Hey. Well, our attention's turned today on a sad note. This caught my attention in the Wall Street Journal. Me, Phil, the only Texas music guy with a home subscription to the Wall Street Journal. I'd wager.
Write in if you have one, too.
I see this. Now, this has a lot of ways to go with it. A popular guy in the 70s here, 80s, the self-styled great imposter, has died. Barry Bremen, B-R-E-M-E-N, Barry Bremen. I saw this article. He's sitting there with a Yankees uniform on. For a decade starting in the late 70s, Barry Bremen, he has passed away of cancer. He bluffed his way into professional venues where he impersonated a New York Yankee, a professional golfer, and the manager of an Emmy-winning actress.
Wow.
He was a self-styled great imposter. He died June 30th at the age of 64. We're very sad. He marketed work for Famous Amos cookies, gag toys, etc. But for kicks, he sold himself as a range of professional sports figures, and even in a memorable football game in Texas, a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader.
Wow.
He billed himself as the great imposter. And the article goes on to say he was on Johnny Carson several times for his hijinks.
Yep.
You know, but man, I was just loving some of these stories. You remember, I grew up watching a lot of sports in the 70s, and it kind of talks about it here. It was an era when exuberant sports pranks counted as publicity worthy. It was the days of streaking, of Morgana, the baseball's kissing bandit. Remember her, the big-chested blonde? She'd run out on the stage run out on the field in the middle of a game. It's maybe before your time. I was still pretty young.
A simpler time, it sounds like.
A simpler time. She'd run on the stage, on the field, and she'd kiss George Brett on the cheek. He'd be at third base, and the cops would come get her.
Walk her off.
Crowd be going nuts. Oh, it's Morgana. She was kind of famous, you know?
Right.
Then she'd show up on Carson, you know, and streakers, etc. Well, this guy was out there, too, our man Barry Bremen. And I'll tell you why he's so endearing to me here in a little bit. I'll skip to the article here a little bit. Oh, you also saw Roland Stewart in those days. He was the original Rainbow Afro with the John 3:16.
You know,
it's kind of a cliche of sporting events now, but that was an actual guy back then. And he'd show up on the Today Show, etc. He snuck on. He's on Carson. One time he snuck onto a PGA U.S. Open tournament in Toledo, Ohio that year, playing most of a practice round with two pros before being discovered and hustled off the course by officials. Weeks later, he donned a Yankees uniform in Seattle and managed to get on the field to shag flies before the All-Star game. He was arrested during the team photo lineup.
Wow.
He's just in the photo stand. So I'm like, hey, who is that guy? He just runs off the deal. His family supported his antics and his moonlighting as a prankster. Let's see. In December came one of his master strokes, appearing in full regalia as one of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. At 6 feet 4 inches, Mr. Bremen stuck out despite his shaved legs and pom-poms and barely produced a cheer before security dragged him to jail. Nearly all stunts led to arrests where he cheerfully paid the fines.
Wow.
Officials at the 82 Super Bowl in the Pontiac Silverdome did just that. They apprehended Mr. Bremen as he tried to crash the game disguised as the San Diego Chicken. You know the
nice.
San Diego.
Oh,
they
yeah.
still have the San Diego Chicken?
I think they do.
I thought there was some backlash, like,
against
you know,
chickens?
Yeah, something. Didn't represent chickens well or something. I don't know.
I think he's still out there.
He's still out there. Let's hope he is. Email philip@philippritchard.com. Is the San Diego Chicken still in existence? I don't know. Oh, this is good. During the 80s, Mr. Bremen once briefly appeared on the sidelines as an NFL referee.
Just oh, out there nice.
As a ref, playing more PGA Championship golf and provoking Los Angeles Dodgers manager Tommy Lasorda to throw Mr. Bremen, who was in a Mets uniform, off the field in Houston in an expletive-filled rage before the 1986 baseball All-Star game.
Nice.
He'd get out there and... Well, some of those players, I guess you wouldn't maybe know the face of just every All-Star guy. I mean, I don't know, if they're in another league or something, you're kind of like, oh, that's some guy in a Mets uniform. He was a tall guy.
Right.
Maybe
looked
athletic.
Athletic.
Yeah. Departing from sports impersonations, Mr. Bremen strode on stage to accept a 1985 Emmy Award meant for Hill Street Blues actress Betty Thomas, who was slow to stand up when her name was called. In his acceptance speech, Mr. Bremen thanked Mr. Shapp, Dick Shapp, who made him Sportsman of the Year or Sportsman of the Week or something like that. And he was subsequently fined $175 for interfering with an event.
Oh, wow.
Anyway.
A simpler time.
Yeah.
These days he'd be in jail.
Interestingly, he said he eventually hung up his uniforms. He said he was discouraged after the knife-wielding incident where Monica Seles was stabbed in 1993 in a match in Germany.
That's a turning point.
He said he kind of just goes, man, it's just not cool for people to run out on the deal. So, anyway, we're mourning the loss of Barry Bremen. Man, that guy's a visionary in my book.
Visionary. Yeah.
We talk in the van all the time. Everyone's like, Phil, what do you guys talk about in the van? One of our favorite topics through the years is, and I always think of this when I'm watching the Olympics for some reason, because usually, especially Winter Olympics, it's sports I'm not that good at or too familiar with. And my question is always the same.
What?
Professional Or you know, high-profile sport. Olympics aren't professional per se, but could you get out there, Blue, or me, and fool the TV audience, the audience at the event, the longest before being discovered just because you're not a pro? And
right.
So
How long
could you carry it out? Like say I just snuck into the Rangers dugout, put on a hat and ran out in the right field. Well, people would immediately see, like, man, that guy's not very good. Who the hell is that?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd like to think maybe you could pull it off. If I got an easy pop fly, I could probably catch it and throw it back in a second. But after a while, one at bat, people would just go, this is a joke. What's going on here?
Now, you could probably impersonate the bat boy.
Yeah, probably. No one throw me off of that. I mean,
kind of a skinny guy.
I mean, everyone loves to just dismiss. Well, Phil, you'd be discovered. You'd be discovered. Ah, that's not the question. The question is how long,
right,
could you hang around?
Right.
I mean, if I got under the ropes like Bremen did at the Masters during my practice round, and I had a nice looking, I'll bet I could dress
nice
like
outfit.
A pro.
Yeah.
I've got a decent swing.
Hit a couple balls.
Get a nice looking bag. First hole, I make a six, maybe, but I kind of know how to twirl my clubs around. Yeah, I played high school.
Carry
golf.
Yourself.
Yeah,
right?
I could just be like, oh, like I could act like for a hole, this is an abomination that I, you know, just oh man, just missed my drive
just
there.
Hooked it.
Yeah, just having a tough day. But after about four or five holes, the guys in the tour
catch
go,
on.
Is this guy in there? Who is this guy?
Yeah,
he can't play golf, you know.
Now golf would have to be one of the easiest sports.
If you were a really good player,
you know.
If you're a really good player, you could golf.
Because almost anyone could, you know,
right.
Get out there. I mean,
my big thing was always
Stuart Wiley.
Yeah.
Could show up at a professional bowling.
Yeah. Well,
tournament.
He's a good bowler.
He could just show up, roll some balls. And
right.
Just,
sure. He could fit right in.
ESPN8 is just kind of watching, and just next thing you know, just there's no name there. Just
yeah.
Who is this guy?
I don't know, but he's bowling.
He's bowling.
He's
on
one after the other. He's on fire out there.
That's right.
Oh, man. But I'm more interested in the sports you just could not even play.
Oh, okay.
Like, for example, I've only been skiing like once in my life. So I just, but I can watch the guys getting ready to go down the downhill. They're in the hut, the way they're doing their hands, the helmet, they're rocking back and forth, they're picking up their skis. Just go, go, go.
And then you just fall out of the chute.
How far can I? Oh, that's got to be a steep incline. Just halfway down that ramp. I'm just sitting on my butt, just dragging.
It's a yard sale.
How far could I get?
Not very far.
Not very far.
No.
What about like bobsled? Do you think you could run next to a bobsled and get it down the track?
You couldn't pay me enough.
You couldn't do
it? We're talking about life dangerous sports here.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Stuff you're unfamiliar with. If I gave you a short list of stuff.
I could see you with the kind of a Tony Hawk looking guy, kind of older, but just got the skateboard, get the helmet on like you're an old school skater.
Yeah, just kind of popping my neck, just jumping around on the edge of the concrete swimming pool, the pike.
Yeah.
Then just jump on, as soon as I went into action, it'd be over. But I wonder if I could carry myself in a certain fashion.
Yeah.
Of course, I guess Bremen did if he got to the, like my friend Max Hartman was on the podcast a while back, how he got into that U2 after party.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of feedback from you fans out there on that. Where he just kind of, he didn't sneak in. He just said, man, I just kind of held my chin up. I spoke to everybody as I walked into the U2 suite. How you doing? Great show, huh? Y'all, yeah. Just walked in, and I slapped people on the back he didn't know. And he said, man, everyone was afraid to go, wait a minute, who is this guy?
Yeah.
He goes, man, you got to act like you belong. That's kind of the whole kinda art
like,
of the
kinda
deal.
Kind of like Ocean's 11, they do that a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
You got to be, you know, memorable but not too memorable.
Right.
Just.
What about you? You played college football. Do you watch pro football and say, yeah, I can get out there and run around? Would you be back there as the – I mean, you get out there as the punt
returner, maybe?
No, not a returner, like the punter.
Oh, the punter. Oh, yeah, I could probably do that. Maybe, yeah.
Just kind of pretend like you didn't get all of it.
Yeah.
How many punts would it be before, like, wait a minute. What's
two or three. Two, I'm a horrible punter, yeah.
Yeah, just an 18-yard kick.
Just a place kicker. Just get out there, just try to tow it.
Yeah, just the kickoff blues just out there in your little black
hands
cleats.
Up, just,
you know, just, all right, here we go. Guy's waiting for the ball on the goal line. Just tweet. Just kind of kick. He's got
25 yards.
A little sideways knuckleball. Just kind of about 15 yards.
It was a squib kick.
Kind of, was that meant to happen? But I don't know. Maybe something happened there. See, that first time, you could just kind of snap off your chin strap real
look upset.
Disgustedly. Just kind of look skyward and just go, ugh.
I'd go with the no shoe, too.
Guy must be trying out. I didn't get all that. Well, we'll see. Then you score. You got to get out there again. Then maybe after that second kick.
Second kick,
you'd
third kick. You get a coach up there and just,
yeah.
Who is this guy? I like it. I could carry myself on a baseball field.
I think I could strut out there. I need to be a little bit bigger, though. Those guys are pretty damn big.
Yeah.
But maybe if
man, like a AAA game or something, maybe.
Yeah,
you know, maybe
strut out there with some sunflower seeds and just, you know, just throw the ball and maybe at second base and just kind of.
At least again, batting practice, you know, fielding some balls.
The first screaming grounder that just goes right through your legs. You can just drop
the glove down.
You can drop to your knees and look skyward just like that never
like,
happens.
How did I miss
what?
It?
I mean, just a routine play. And then the second time up there. Could you get through an at bat? Could
I think
you get through
an at bat would be the problem.
Well, could you
square, take a couple?
Could
you take a couple?
Could you square it a bunt? Maybe you foul one off. I don't know. Could you get through with that? Maybe baseball.
Just play for a curveball.
Now the NBA, you set foot on the floor, everyone starts laughing.
There's no chance.
There's no chance. Well, the Mavs had like J.J. Barea. They had some small guys out there.
I mean, he probably got questioned quite a bit.
Yeah, like what are you doing
early in his career? Well,
wasn't that a joke? Didn't he say he was somewhere and people say, wait a minute, this player's only in here? And he's
they
like,
wouldn't let him in. Yeah. Now you know where you could absolutely fool the crowd.
Where's that?
Dangerous sport.
Yeah.
You could get into the bullfighting ring.
Just
the matador outfit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, baby, you wouldn't last long, though, man.
No.
You'd just get drilled the first time
that bull comes
came
one
in.
Time. You would exit yourself out of that situation.
Well, and I wouldn't last long. Bull riding. What if you're bull riding?
Yeah.
But, you know, some of those guys get thrown off that first second.
That's
so maybe
true.
Maybe you just kind of shrug. It's the same deal. The first time... You could throw down your hat in disgust and just think, well, he didn't. Yeah, the bull turned on him when he came right out of the gate, you know.
Yeah.
But, oh, well. You know, my old road manager and former podcast zone, Troy Johnson, now with Miranda Lambert, along with Jordan and everybody else. Troy, we played at Gillies in Dallas years ago, and they had the mechanical bull there.
Mm,
Oh, well, wait a minute. This wasn't at Gilly's. This was in some field in Lubbock somewhere. Never mind. It was at a fair or something. But they had the mechanical bull.
Yeah.
And Johnson was just going, man, I want to get on that. Where's the mechanical bull? I want to ride the mechanical bull. I'm like, have you ever ridden a horse? A bull, Johnson? He's like, no. I go, have you ever ridden a horse? He's like, no.
Not
he goes,
really.
Man, I'm just. And so the guys in the band were going, man, Troy, you wouldn't last 2 seconds on a bull, on the mechanical bull. And he's like, man, you just wait, you know, and I'm going to hold on. Can't be that hard. You just got to hold on. You got to use your legs, whatever. He had,
right.
he had something he was
right.
going right. to perform for all of us.
Right.
We were all. So we went looking for this thing, me and Lynch and Stolly, and well, there it is. So we finally get there, and Johnson sits on this bull, and, you know, he hits the. See, he knew how to do
that. He knew the look.
The
yeah,
hitting
he
the,
tightened
the
it
look.
Up.
Yeah, he's tightening it. He's with his teeth. He's like, you just hold on. And you know how they kind of they hit on their hand? Just pound that rope in there.
Pumped up, ready to go.
Raises a hand. He looks over at the guy. Like
gives him the nod.
The quick nod, like, go. You know, just the, yeah. And, dude, this guy just tweaks this lever, and this bull just kind of does a little. Just a
jerk
little.
Forward.
A little, just not even a jerk, just a slow lurch. And
Johnson's off.
Johnson's face comes down and just hits the top of this bull. Just wham! He just slides off the side. Just down in the billows.
No chance. He had no chance.
And he stood in line for like 30 minutes, you know. You know, watching these like 8-year-old kids and they're growing up on some ranch,
right,
you know,
right.
in Stephenville, just the bell just going off, just spinning real fast. Everybody just woo, you know. And Johnson gets up there in his shorts and his Tevis, but he had and I said, man, wouldn't make it long as a bull rider. That's tough, man.
No, those deals are a little unfair. They're a little rigged.
Uh-huh.
I've slipped a.
Have you been on one?
I've been on one. I've done all right.
Wow. Yeah.
But more fun than that is to slip the guy a 20 to just knock your buddy off.
Yeah,
in about 2 seconds, way forward, and he's you know.
And as he stands up, dazed, next to the bull, give it another turn and just knock him down.
Knock him down.
Went, oh, you know. Do they still have a bull at Gilly's over in Dallas?
You know, I don't know if they have one at Gilly's, but there's a new bar by my house on McKinney. Not saying which one.
You just live in all the bars over
they
there.
They have a mechanical bull outside up front.
Uh-huh. Oh, do they really?
The trophy room.
And everybody gathers around.
Not the bar I live
by. People.
Yep.
But it just seems like...
Just bachelorette parties and girls in dresses. It's a mess.
With condoms in their veils.
Oh, yeah.
Just riding the bull.
Yep.
Goodness gracious.
A rite of passage.
Do they have bands there?
No
sounds
bands.
Like a, sounds
no
like a
bands.
Gig for us. No? Come on.
No
man.
Bands.
Oh, boy. Well, we mourn the passing of our man. I'll tell you what, man. I just woke up and the Journal's always got these great human interest stories there in the lower center section. Barry Brimmon. He has gone all too early at the age of 64. Impersonated a PGA pro. Oh, man. All-star baseball player.
Cowboys cheerleader.
How'd you like that? I love just the Emmys. Just, you know, just what if you got...
You can pull that off.
You went to the Emmys, and I put on a tuxedo.
Tuxedo.
And someone just goes, you know, and the winner is Mad Men, Jacob Smith. And I just jumped up and just started clapping my hands and ran down the aisle. Everyone would go, oh, here he comes. And I just get up there at the mic, and the guy back there is like going, hey, wait, he's But before he could even get to the
stage.
And
what's the protocol?
You know? I could go, this really means a lot to me, everybody. I love it. I mean, I ought to go try to do that. It's the only way I'm going to win an Emmy, I think.
I like it. You can accept an award for Gary Floater.
That's right. Yeah, just don't take this for Gary Floater. He's an underappreciated genius. We thank you all. Good night. And just walk out, you know, and just see how far you can get, you know? Well, that is some impersonator talk. Gary Brimmon, we hardly knew ye, but you left us a lot of... Left us with a big laugh here in the Journal. Thank you, sir. Well, Blue has been here. Thanks for being here, Blue.
Great to be here.
Opining, sharing some sports insight with us, and so much more.
Now, you'll have to have me back for the pregame SMU-Texas A&M Longhorns.
Oh, yes.
Or Texas A&M
boy.
Aggies.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Same
Blue
difference. Blake Walker and I have a score to settle
yes,
on this one.
Yes, the podcast on Blake Walker, Aggie, Blue, of course, who played football.
Maybe we
football.
Can both get on.
Blue played football at SMU. Yeah, we ought to. When is that? Is that the first game
That's
of the season?
First game of the season
oh
at
my gosh.
College Station.
Oh, boy.
Let's plan a show.
We ought to plan a show down there. When is that? August or is it September?
First week of September.
Okay. Man, Labor Day weekend?
I think it's the weekend after, maybe this weekend.
Okay. Man.
Let us know.
Look for that show.
Book us for a private party in College Station.
That's right. Phil at PhilPritchard.com. College Station. Let us know you're there. And before that, of course, August the 13th. Live recording. Corpus Christi, Texas. Phil Pritchard and the full band. Everyone's trekking in for it.
Right around the corner.
Yeah, absolutely. August 13th, Corpus Christi. Come on, fans. I don't ever give y'all specific shows to go to where you all have to be there. But you all got to go to this. A true gathering of the tribe that night.
First live
fans
recording
from,
in 10
from,
years.
That's right. So, almost 10 years. That's right.
Yeah.
So come on out. Blue will be there, of course, the full band. We'll see you then. Well, as we are always want to do, we're going to wander over to the vault, put our hands on a record, and discuss its merits in the vault next. Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast. Welcome and thanks for being here this week, folks. Don't you know Phil Pritchard and the full band will come play a show for you anywhere you'd like. A bar, a club, a festival in your own backyard, in your kitchen. We've done all different, good, great, all different variations of shows here in recent years. So just give us a call, 817-733-5256, or as always, phil@philpritchett.com. You will get a response from me. Phil, how you doing? Hey, if you bring us in, I send you a one-page. You hear that? A one-page contract saying when and where and we're there. It's that simple. So give us a call or shoot us an email. We'll come play for you. Very, very soon, hopefully. Well, here in the vault, one of my favorites. Now listen up. I know I get some emails from you guys saying, oh, Phil, you already did this artist, or you already did that album. I can't remember if I've done this one or not. I've done so many of these podcast shows. Good grief, now we're coming up on, what is this, 115, 120, something like that. It's a lot of stuff, but man, stuff pops up on the iPod, or I'm in the house, you know, doing some work. Song comes up, I'm like, oh, this is great. I have a new thought, a new, you know, perspective on something. Music always changes, even though the song's the same. The way I, wherever I am in my life, listening to it, it kind of changes a little bit. So forgive me, some of these are repetitive. But I don't know if I've done this album or not. I tried to find it. I'm the man, Joe Jackson. Love me some Joe Jackson. You might know him from Stepping Out Tonight. You know that tune? A little early 80s. That's what he was known for here in the States. But man, he was a punk, new waver. Coming out of England with Costello and all those other guys that I loved back then. He did a record called Look Sharp. I'm pretty sure we did that on the podcast. Look Sharp, Joe Jackson. I think it was his first record. Well, it was followed immediately by I'm the Man. Just rocking, punky, fun. You know, he was kind of a punk guy, but the punk guys were a lot more crass, a lot more violent, a lot more stupid, if you don't mind my saying so. You know, Jackson, Costello, these guys had a little more intelligence, a little more wit, a little more humor. And the arrangements of the songs were more sophisticated than just sitting there banging out chords like The Clash or something like that. Or the Sex Pistols or some of these other punk bands. So, Joe Jackson, a favorite of mine, the older I've gotten, especially those first two albums, Look Sharp, and this one, I'm the Man. I love it. Man, just listen to how this song comes in. This is Geraldine and John, one of my favorite Joe Jackson tunes. One of my favorite tunes, period. Just lilting guitar and the slow beat and cool lyrics, a relationship in this song. Geraldine and John, dig it on the P2 Podcast.
So inseparable.
Love it, love it, love it. Why doesn't someone come into my studio with a song like that? It's cool, it's cool, it's cool, but get working on it, man. There's some good grooves, some good feel in that song. Geraldine and John, Joe Jackson. Oh, I think this was 1978, 79. From England, smart, witty. Interestingly, Joe Jackson, he's led a lot of... He's been very critical of smoking bans in Europe and in the United States. Big smoker. He spends his time fighting for smokers' rights. I read on his website. Hey, good for him. I'm not even a smoker, man, but I think... Freedom, baby. Freedom. If Jackson's for freedom, then I'm all about it, man. If you don't like some barks that's smoky, well, don't go there. But if you want to smoke, you can smoke. That's my deal. So Joe Jackson's out there campaigning for you smokers out there, and hopefully campaigning for freedom in a broad sense. Well, man, y'all might know this next tune, one of his best songs. I'm the Man, from I'm the Man. This is, Don't You Know That It's Different for Girls. I've been trying to get the full band to cover this, but it's kind of complicated. Complicated kind of tune. Not exactly a three chords and the truth kind of thing that we can blaze through on stage at the Granada Theater or something off the cuff. But I love this one, man. Don't You Know It's Different for Girls, Joe Jackson.
The same.
Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, folks. Thank you for listening to us this week, for enlightening yourself to coming here once a week. Oh, it's been a little erratic here the last couple of weeks. Mea culpa, my apologies. Been very busy traveling, making records for all these guys at Trinidad. All you artists and songwriters out there, get up here to Fort Worth, or if you record somewhere else, send me a hard drive. I'll mix it and overdub keys and guitars and sing. Send it to me here at Trinidad World Recording. Tell me about your project, phil@philpritchett.com. Hey, look for our ad. It's going to be coming up. I'm running a little ad, record with Phil Pritchett kind of deal. It's going to be out there floating around, you know, Best in Texas, some of these magazines. Just trying to get the word out there that I want you to come record here. I want to help you do it. It's what I love to do. And we're here. We do it all the time, whether you get here physically to record here in the big room back there with all the cool stuff, or you're doing it in your bedroom and, or some other studio somewhere, and you just send me the hard drive. Phil, mix it, master it, add your little special sauce to it, and we're going to put it out. Love doing it. Well, that has been our show here for this week on the Pete Sue Podcast. Joe Jackson here in the vault. My thanks to Blue Marshall, JW, for dropping by, talking with us, adding his perspective to all things we talk about here. Thank you for coming by, Blue. Well, we're going to leave you with one of my favorite tunes off of this album, The Band Wore Blue Suits. I love this, man. It's just about being in a band. I love the line that says, listen for the line that says, I guess someday my kids will ask me about the old days. I think about that a lot. I'll just tell them that there really isn't that much to tell. And the band wore blue suits and the music played on. Joe Jackson, take us out here. We'll see you next week on the P2 Podcast, Much Tougher.
Sucker down.